Hey guys, it's episode 15 of the Get Into This podcast. I actually had to go back and re-record this because I said it was episode 16. I have no fucking clue what week we're ever on. I just know that you're getting a new episode every single week, so bravo to me. This episode here is for all the nosies and the serious inquiries only of sugaring, sugar babies, sugar daddies, sugar, all the monies, all of the things, all of the everything about this whole world. So we have a guest because obviously I don't know what the fuck I'm doing in this element. And her name is Miss Shawdrake, and she is on here as a full-time sugar baby. Her story is not super crazy, which I think makes it very relatable. And she's gonna drop her like little tidbits on her business and bring you up to speed on how you too can be a sugar baby, very out and open like she is, or on the low. So get into this with Shawdrake. Okay, guys, here we go. Take a sip. We're drinking rosé here. It's 12 noon on Sunday, July is it the 14th? I don't even know if it's June or July. It's the 14th. July 14th, we're recording. So high five to me for recording early and not waiting until 10 o'clock on Monday night or 6 a.m. on Tuesday morning like I've been doing because I've been hoeing myself around throughout the weekend. So here we go. But speaking of hoeing ourselves around, here we go. In a very classy way, I am so happy to have this young lady here with me today because I think this is going to be an amazing podcast episode for you guys to hear. You know, we're segueing in from pegging right over into the sugar baby world. And so we have Drake Shaw here today, and she's going to give you like everything you've ever wanted to know or anything that you never even knew that you needed to know. You might quit your job after this episode. You might have a whole new life. You might leave your husband. You might have a husband and have a whole sugar daddy on the side that he doesn't know about. And you can be like, where you get all these extra coins from, boo? Drake Shaw taught me. That's going to be the new hashtag. Instead of Rihanna taught me or Beyonce taught me or whoever the hell, it's going to be right. Drake Shaw taught me. So I'm going to let her introduce herself, and then we're going to roll into all the meat and potatoes that you forever wanted to know. So who are you?
I am.
And what do you do?
I am Shawdrake.
And why do I keep saying Drake Shaw?
Because on Facebook, it has it both ways.
Shit. Okay. Listen, guys, I'm drunk.
I'm Shawdrake, and I am a professional dater. I'm a sugar baby.
That is such a classy way to say it. A professional dater.
I'm a professional dater.
Because, girl, my non-professional dating is a fucking shit show out here.
Let me tell you, it's really fun, and I basically, that I have some weeks where I go on dates, 10 dates in 1 week. And then I have some weeks where I don't go on any dates and I just use that week for self-care and things like that. Because it can be exhausting dating all of these guys and dealing with different personalities and things like that. So, but overall, I enjoy it. It's very lucrative. I have a lot of fun doing it.
Okay, so let's back up before we get into the lucrative things. You know, people want to hear like actual core stuff. So back up. Okay, I assume that you didn't start this straight out of wherever. So I'm assuming that you were once a normal working girl like the rest of us.
I was.
So how did, so what got you here? You're working at work and you were like, fuck this, I'm quitting and now I'm doing this. Like, what was the transition? Get us from A to B.
Okay, so I was in the military for 3 years.
What branch?
The Army.
Okay, I was in the Air Force.
Oh, nice. Yes. Yes, so I was in the Army for 3 years and I was a mom of three. I was married. He cheated and we divorced.
Yeah, that's everybody's story.
Yes, you know.
Probably got married for that BAH too.
We did. Ah! We totally did.
See, but was in your blood to get married and do all this stuff just to get the dollar.
Because you know everyone do the contract marriages in the military.
Yeah, I've been to a couple of those faux weddings.
Right. But I did love him. And we have three kids together. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, after we divorced and my cousins told me about this site, and they said, that's okay, you'll get over your divorce, you just need to get a sugar daddy.
Is this Seeking Arrangements?
Seeking Arrangements.
Girl, I have an account.
Yeah. Do you use it? You better get on it, honey.
I will further talk about that.
You better get on there. So they told me about, they were too young at the time to actually join. So I said, well, look, I'm going to do it. And I was, I was 23 at the time. And I went on my first sugar daddy date with the district attorney in San Diego.
So where were you living, though?
I was living in California at the time. Okay. In San Jacinto.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it went really well. You know, he taught me how to do background checks and just how to protect myself when I meet other guys. And I
You went on a date and got a mentor.
I got a mentor immediately. Very first date. We met at a casino. And when he first met, he knew that I had three children. And when we first met, he gave me an envelope with money in it. And he said, I don't care what happens tonight. This money is yours for your child care and your kids. You don't touch it. So he gave me that and put it in my purse. And then he gave me more cash so that we can go to blackjack, to the table mm-hmm. and play blackjack. And I think I won maybe like $600 or $700 that night. So it was pretty fun. And I had the $600 or $700 to take
home. Yeah, that's a good win because I've never won anything.
Yeah. Well, you know, he told me, he said, do you know how to play blackjack? And I said, no, I have never heard of the game. Yeah. And so he said, look, he said, you're a millennial. Go on YouTube, you know, watch a couple of videos and then wear a sexy black dress. All the people at the table will help you. And they absolutely did, because with blackjack, if one person makes a bad move, it can affect everyone else at the table. Mm. We're all playing against the dealer. So it was a fun day. And that was like my first experience. And I kind of fell in love with it from day one.
Okay. So you're still in the Army at this point, though?
No.
You had gotten out.
I had gotten out at that point.
Okay.
I had gotten out. I was in school. I didn't have a 9-to-5 job at that time, but eventually I did get one because I wasn't making the most money that I'm making now. I wasn't making that right back in the day. But yeah, so I was just a stay-at-home mom.
And you were just like trickling in, like whenever you wanted to entertain somebody, you'd go out with them, just like a regular date would be.
Right. I didn't date 10 times a week. I probably had 2 dates a month at this time. I was 23.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So that was pretty normal still at that time. And, you know, no one really had weird requests of me, you know, for maybe the first year mm-hmm. to the second year. That's when all the crazy stuff started happening.
Right. Okay. So people are listening to us right now, and I'm sure that they want to know some other stuff. So let's talk about this real quick.
Okay.
Before we get any deeper, give people the way to find you on social so they can go look, have their headphones in, see who you are, look at all this stuff while they're listening.
So on Facebook, you can find me. My name is Shaw Drake on Facebook, and my website is www.sugaringwithoutsugar.com.
So are you on Instagram?
I'm not on Instagram.
That's wild.
I'm not. I'm just on Facebook.
Okay. So she's exclusively to the Facebook audience.
I should transition at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would like to come off of Facebook too, but that's where more conversation happens. But right. Instagram obviously opened you up to a whole different audience that you don't really have to search for because of the hashtags and stuff. But right. What I want people to be able to do is go on to see your face, because this point that I'm going to make is, I want to get into this discussion before we get any further, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm talking to a black woman right here, guys. And I'm saying this because in this culture, in the black culture, it's like, oh, this is something that like white girls do. No, okay. First of all, this is anybody with a vagina would do.
Yep.
Secondly, I think that it's also something that it's like one of those mirages of a conversation, right? So it's like women are always joking when times get hard or they're tired of their boyfriend or whatever. Just mm-hmm. in a little normal kiki, they're like, oh, I gotta find me a sugar daddy. But no one like is for real.
Right.
And so
everyone say it though, you're right.
Yeah, people just say that and they just say it just, you know, off the hip, but they're just they're kidding.
Yeah.
But there's a portion of women who are not joking, and so there's maybe, I don't know, if we look at this like a piece of a pie, right? So maybe there's 50% of women who are not joking and actually go and become a sugar baby. Then there's even a slimmer audience of, or not audience, but a slimmer demographic of women who sugar full time. And then right. there's maybe even a smaller audience who's sugar without sex, which is your forte.
Yes,
so
it is.
But before we get into that type of stuff, I really want to get on like the cultural demographic of this, right? So you are a Black woman. I want you guys to hear that again, like a Black woman.
I am a Black woman, y'all.
Yeah, so this is definitely something that goes across, you know, we can hit the crazy rich Asians.
Right.
We can be over here doing this, like all the types of things. So,
I'm not ambiguous in any way.
She's very Black, very regular Black, very regular Black. This is not a Rihanna.
Regular schmegular Black.
Yeah, regular schmegular degular. Like, don't be like, oh, she passes. No, she don't. She Black.
No.
So, okay. So to discuss that part, because I think mm-hmm. there's a stigma that is like, oh, this is not what culturally we do. So
right.
that, and then also, because I know you have currently a white sugar
yes.
daddy. So talk to me about the dynamics with that and getting over that stigma, maybe even to like the people who like your clients and mm-hmm. to like friends and people who look at you like, girl, are you for real? Yes, you're for real.
Right. So I was one of those, women who I only preached Black love my entire life. Like, I would never even look at a white guy, you know, period. White men were not attractive to me at all. And so when I started sugaring, I didn't have any role models to look up to that I knew personally or online. And most of the girls were white girls. And one girl told me, well, I was reading forums and I was, you know, chatting with them. And one girl told me, well, since you're Black, you're not going to be able to make as much money as we do.
Oh, shit. Look, Black people are getting a dime for every dollar in every fucking segment of the world.
Yes.
Like, so, these vaginas are, listen.
Yes, that's what she told me. She said, you know, for the white girls, if we get 1,000, then the Asians will get about 700 and the Black women or others will get maybe 300 to 400 if you're really beautiful.
That's really crazy because, you know,
that's what she told me.
And I don't know if that's her perception
mm-hmm.
because Black women and just like Black men, right, for white mm-hmm. women are such this like secret fantasy. So it's weird.
And
is it the fact that white women just don't know that their white counterparts, their white male counterparts are just as attracted to Black people? Is it something they just don't realize?
Honestly, I'm not really sure.
Or was she correct?
She became correct for me because since I didn't have anyone else to look up to, I took her word for law. So moving forward, I never even expected to be able to make as much money as the white girls did. I undervalued myself. The moment she told me that, I said, okay, well, I'm only worth this amount of money. And I knew I was never going to have sex for a little amount of money. So that's what actually kept me from having sex from the very beginning. But it was just my belief. She put that belief onto me and I just took it around with it.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, just so that everyone knows, because I'm Black, I charge more.
Right.
I charge more. It really took a mindset shift with me. And so I say, okay, well, if a white girl is getting 1,000, then I'm going to get 2.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I make my prices. So I believe that when I listen to other women speak about sugaring, and women who specifically sugar without giving it up, I'm one of the high end ones.
Okay.
And so as far as the relationship dynamics between, you know, me being a Black woman and dating white men, it's not so much of a power struggle with them, but they do kind of, some of them, many of them feel like they own you, like they're buying you, like you belong to them for however long that, you know.
It's regardless of race. That's just because of the construct of how the relationship is
yep.
set up.
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct. But I've never had problems when I go out. You know, they're on edge because they're waiting for someone to fuck up and say anything to us wrong because we are, you know, an interracial couple or because there's a really big age gap between the guys that I actually date and the men that I choose to date, they only date Black women.
Oh, interesting.
They only date Black women.
So what have they told you what that is about? Or is it just a preference like anything else?
They told many of them started off having affairs with a Black woman. Some of them
Yeah, because it was all this mystery. So right? This white girl didn't know what the hell she was talking about.
Yes, and they said at that point they could never go back to a white girl. That's honestly the typical answer that I get. But then sometimes they tell me, I've always loved Black women. You're the goddess. You're the this, you're the that, you know. And you just have some white guys who are just totally obsessed with everything ebony about
right.
a woman, you know. So
okay. Yeah. Okay, so That's how, okay, that's the difference between, I mean, that's how you're dating white men. So age range, you talked about the age difference. What's that looking like?
I set my preferences, my age preference to 60 and above.
Okay.
I'm dating as old as possible. Now, when I'm sending out messages, if I'm doing online dating and I'm sending out messages to the guys, I only message them first if they're over, if they're above 60. But I will respond to messages if they're in their 50s.
Okay. So break down the phenomenon, because I know that there is, you know, girls who are dating regularly. So even to the people who are listening to this episode who don't have a desire to sugar, mm-hmm. but they just have a desire to date like regular, I guess you could say, but they're dating within their age range, but they mm-hmm. still want like gifts and stuff. Maybe they can pick up tidbits and mm-hmm. maybe, you know, if you were 29 and you were dating a 29-year-old, he might not be financially able to buy you these things. So
right.
what little tidbit can you drop to somebody about dating older that they should be picking up on, even if they don't want to sugar?
Okay. So I will say this, all of the tactics and strategies and principles I teach, it transcends over into vanilla relationships. You know, it's not just for sugaring. It's if you want to be a spoiled girlfriend, if you just want to have more confidence in life. And, you know, when you occupy certain spaces, perhaps you work a nice corporate job, but you suffer from self-esteem issues. So when you're around a lot of high-powered men, you kind of shrink yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So just the things that I teach, it will help you in a lot of different ways. But as far as if there's a woman who's, you know, 25 and she wants to date a 26-year-old guy who obviously probably wouldn't have a lot of money, definitely not going to be a millionaire, I just teach them how to set the tone for their relationship. So for instance, back in the day, when men courted women, they picked them up from their homes, mm-hmm. right? But, you know, we know it's not safe to do that at this point. But I'm still very traditional. And so I always send them an address nearby where I live. And instead of me asking them, well, can you come pick me up or can you do me a favor and, you know, make up this whole lie about why I can't afford for them, I honestly expect any man that I date to, at a minimum, take care of my transportation. So once we set up the date and they send me the information, I say, awesome, I have it locked in my phone. Here's my address so that you can have an Uber sent for me.
Okay.
I do not ask them for anything. I tell them exactly what I want. And if they...
like, this is not an option.
It's not an option. And sometimes I do get, you know, pushback. I actually had a date for this evening at 6 and he canceled.
So why did he cancel?
Because he told me I should have asked him for a favor if I needed that.
Okay, cool. Well, he just canceled.
He canceled.
And that's it.
And that's it. I don't negotiate anything if I tell you what I want. And so I'm very careful with the things that I say. I bet the guys really will.
So wait a minute. He canceled based off of an Uber?
Based off of... Because he felt like I was too entitled. And I explained to him, you know what? Perhaps that is the lens in which you view things. But it doesn't matter that I met you on a sugar daddy site. I'm very traditional in certain ways. And back in the day, like I said, a woman's not going to ask you, are you able to come pick me up? Like, no, you're going to do that.
Yeah, that was the standard.
That's the standard. And for me, in any area, that is still the standard for my life when it comes to dating.
Okay, so from what I'm subliminally hearing mm-hmm. is that we as women are providing too many concessions.
Oh, yes, we are. Yes. Okay. And I don't do that.
Like the meet me halfway thing. Oh, you know, I'm not that. A fan. Like, I'm a coffee.
No Dutch here.
I'm a coffee drinker. I'm a hardcore coffee drinker. Like I'm a coffee snob. So you will not meet me for a coffee date to pre-screen me unless you are also a coffee drinker. Like yep. I don't do that.
Exactly.
I also don't split bills with men.
Smart.
I split bills with women,
right.
But I won't split bills with men.
Exactly.
And you will not be taking me to some restaurant that your ass don't already patronize. So like
exactly.
If you are already eating at Del Frisco's, and that's where the goddamn we're gonna eat dinner. Like you're not gonna take me to Olive Garden.
Exactly.
Because you eat at Del Frisco so that mm-hmm. you can pre-screen me out. Like, I think that just outside of the sugaring world, men should date women on the level that they are already at. And if you don't think I can eat at Del Frisco's because it's $50 or something like that, then mm-hmm. we don't need to go to goddamn Del Frisco.
You're absolutely right.
And we don't
right.
need to do anything else together.
Exactly. And I will tell you that you have to be willing to walk away from these guys. There's no amount of money that a guy can offer me that's going to make me lower my standard. Because once you do that one time, you're going to keep doing it. You're going to get used to it. And then at some point, you're just going to accept whatever someone's offering you. And I refuse. So sometimes I used to say that, well, it's their loss. But honestly, it's not. I mean, I used to say that it was my loss, but it's not. It's their loss. They don't know what they lost out on. But mm-hmm. I know the type of woman that I am.
Right.
And any guy that's gone on a date with me, I've never not been asked for a second date.
Okay.
And I have gone on hundreds of dates, and I have never not been asked on a second date.
So how does this play out right now, present day in your life? Do you have one guy that you're dating? Do you have multiple guys? Is there a limit to the guys that you date? Like how many can you juggle? what are you capable of controlling?
So here's one of the nuggets I'll drop. I tell women to date men who are low maintenance, high reward. So you don't want to get a guy who you have to give so much, you have to invest so much into him in order for him to give you $500 a week. That's not going to cut it. So my goal is to get guys who barely want to talk to me.
This is what I think everybody's goddamn goal is. Leave me the fuck alone. Slide me some money.
Let me do my thing. Let me wake up to a deposit in my PayPal. And when you're ready to see me, you ask me in advance. I tell you my schedule is free. And we go out, we have a great time, and I go home. That's it. So if you have a lot of those, then you can probably have, you know, five sugar daddies at a time consistently.
Because nobody's talking to you.
Because nobody's talking to you.
Listen, let five deposits hit my goddamn Cash App.
Right.
I'm going to be spoiled. I'm going to be like, oh, there's a sixth one. Let me go find a seventh one.
Yes, and that's how it is. So, like, I have one main sugar daddy right now.
Okay.
He's 67, mm-hmm. and he gives me a lot of money, and he's very low maintenance. He texts me good morning, and he texts me good night, and sometimes he forgets to do that. And we really only communicate if I say, baby, I need some money. And within 30 minutes, the money is in my account.
Okay, so this is what you're doing full time now. So mm-hmm. this is your main guy. Does he know about the other people?
Absolutely not.
Okay, so he thinks
absolutely
that you're...
Absolutely not.
He could think, but I'm sure there's an assumption.
He asked me the other day if I would be willing to sign a prenup.
Okay, well, hold off, because I might be getting married in September. But let me say... So that might... We might have to get to that later.
Right.
But, okay, so he gives you a lot of money. And I'm sure you're not going to disclose what that money is. But there is a... allowance, right? So you're
yes.
getting something monthly, you're getting something weekly, you're getting something day. Like, how does the transactions go, and how do you determine what are you just basing this off of what you need based off of where you live? So we are in the DC area. You're saying, okay, I need my rent paid. Are you looking for your whole thing? Or are you looking for portions? Like, how do you scope out what you set in your prices to and what you're getting?
Okay, so I don't have a set price. When I vet the guys, I try to figure out if they're a treat, a trick, or a sponsor. A sponsor is basically, well, I start from a trick.
Okay.
A treat. A treat is the lowest level sugar daddy. This guy can really only afford to take you to Olive Garden every now and then. He may get you a birthday present, but he don't got it like that.
So he's just regular.
He's just a regular dude.
He's the regular shit that everybody already
that
got.
You,
that's
that
a regular
got.
Boyfriend.
Yeah, who gets your nails done and everything.
Oh, that's a high school boyfriend.
That's it.
Okay.
He's a treat.
Because I was getting $20 in high school.
Yeah, right.
To get an airbrush.
Exactly. So then you take it up to a trick. A trick may be able to afford maybe up to $2,000, $2,500 per month.
Okay. That's a substantial amount. That's a rent.
Yes. Yes.
That's
it
a rent.
Is.
That's two mortgages in Birmingham. That's
right?
Three Birmingham. I just came back from Birmingham. I think you can buy a whole goddamn house for $60,000.
You probably can.
My rent right over here is $2,100. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you slide me $2,500.
Yes.
It's on and popping. I'm like, I'm running the streets.
Right.
Right.
Rent. So that's like a trick level. And they can also, you know, they may want to go on a vacation with you every now and then, but they don't just have an unlimited amount of money for you.
Okay.
The ultimate sugar baby's goal is to land a sponsor. They're, we call them whales. They have the absolute most money. They'll finance your life. They can finance your family's life. And they could just honestly change your life in one day. And so my main sugar daddy is a sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
He makes millions per year and has been doing so since the 90s. So honestly, the amount of money that he gives me is... It ain't nothing compared to what he could give me.
Right.
But I'm working on that.
Okay.
I'm working on that. But yeah, so I figure out, depending on if the guy is a treat, a trick, or a sponsor. First of all, I no longer deal with treats. So if I figure out if they're a treat, if they're a trick or a sponsor, and then I determine how much I'm going to tell that person. And
okay.
It's always different. So for my sugar daddy price range, I mean my sponsor price range, I may want to get at a minimum $5,000 a month. And for my trick range, I may want to get at a minimum, you know, $1,500 a month.
$1,500?
Yeah, $1,500.
Okay. So I asked you this when we talked offline, but I want everyone to hear it. So who are these men? Like, what types of men and what categories do these men fall into? What do they do professionally? What are they looking for from a potential sugar baby? Like, who are these guys?
These are men who are in the financial industry. Some of them own like hotel chains, or they are in politics. A lot of
I guess that's major here in DC, right?
Yes, it is. A lot of them are CEOs of tech companies, or maybe they're at they're just in an executive level position at a Fortune 500 company, mm-hmm. things like that. So, I mean, but you will see them, you see them walking down the street, and they'll just look like a regular guy.
Right, right. So yeah. it's not folks who have to go to work every day.
It's not folks who have to go to work every day, but they do work a lot.
Yeah.
So
I'm a dater. And so, you know, I've gotten this thing where I just don't want to date men who I know are like completely like struggle bus.
Right.
And that's fine.
That struggle love.
And so I know that people have that, but then, you know, we'll say, oh, you know, he has a little bit of money. He has a coin. He has a whatever, mm-hmm. whatever the terminology is that week. But it's still not enough to where he can fund his life and yours. And mm-hmm. so, you know, those guys are like, look, I'm being modest here. Like, mm-hmm. it's not my desire. And I don't know if it's a thing of it not being their desire to take care of a woman, or it's just not their desire because it cannot. And so, mm-hmm. you know, you might get a date, you might get a meal, you might get a gift or whatever, mm-hmm. but they're definitely not in the position financially to be just taking care of like bills without question. And so mm-hmm. you constantly feel like you have to be like, oh, I need that. Like, you had to be in a state of despair before yes. that, you know, $150,000 man a year will be able to, even 100. I mean, mm-hmm. there's some people that are listening to this that don't live in a Washington, D.C. bubble,
correct,
who live
correct.
In other places in the country. And so $100,000 to them is like, oh, yeah, if somebody makes $100,000, they can do a lot more, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, those guys don't have the means to be able to just provide all this other type of stuff. So people are okay with that.
Right.
So I'm just it was just my assumption that people who can provide the full on sponsorship every month and drop $5,000 with, you know, just like a regular payment, mm-hmm. they aren't regular employees someplace.
They're not regular employees. These are men who have been in, they've been on a solid path for a very long time. And again, I specifically date old men. I'm not dating anyone who's, you know, you're a shining star right now and people, they're learning about who you are and you're climbing the ladder. I don't date those guys. Mm-hmm. I really go for the oldest.
So why do they want a sugar baby?
A lot of them just want, you know, attention and affection. They just want to be in the company of a beautiful woman. Sometimes they actually want to marry someone who, you know, they wouldn't otherwise meet if they were not on a sugar daddy site.
Okay. Okay. So when you get to this level, when you have this type of money, so I know that there's obviously an agreement that it's like time for money.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the element in these guys' spirit space, whatever, that says that they should pay a sponsorship as opposed to because I'm assuming the guy that you're dating, you said 67.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming, you know, he's somewhere close to retirement.
Right.
Or, you know, well, maybe in a yeah. second retirement.
And that part.
It probably has a little bit more time than, you know, a 40-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
So what makes them say, let me just allow her to live where she lives and just deposit money and occasionally see her as opposed to enjoying her on a full-time basis, because he could, based off of, you know, whatever level he is in his job. He could take the leave. He could do whatever. So why do they opt to have the sugar baby instead of the full-time girlfriend?
Because they're still men. They're still men. And men and women don't get along that well. When you start to spend time with someone, you know, really often, you start to have issues. Drama comes into the picture. They don't want any of that. They don't want any stress from you. And a lot of them will actually say, if you meet them online, I'm looking for a drama-free, no strings attached.
That's so funny, because I feel like men are the ones who are the drama.
Of course they
are. Like, oh, drama-free. I'm like, it's you, boo.
Right.
It's you. You're the one who's not telling the truth. You're not. Okay, so not telling the truth. So mm-hmm. what is the percentage from what you've come into of men who are open in this, and who men who are also trying to play a game. How many of them are married? How many of them are doing blah, 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 blah? Like, what is the transparency for real? Especially as you climb up the ladder, both in the male perspective or the male side and then the female side. Like, how much transparency is really coming to play? And how much of it is still game?
Okay, we all lie. And the person who wins in the end is you're the best liar of that relationship. I lie all the time. I'm an excellent liar. And that's what makes me really good at dating these guys. And that's why he just asked me if I would be willing to sign a prenup, because he thinks that he's
so
falling
in love
with me. Of course I would, Daddy.
Yes, phone a friend.
Of course I would. But okay, so we all lie. A lot of the women, we lie about our age. I used to lie about my age a lot, but I realized, you know what? I don't like pretending that I'm 25 years old. Yeah, I'm 31. I enjoy being 31. And so I no longer lie about my age. Well, typically we lie about our age. We lie about if we have children or not. Mm-hmm. If our bodies can kind of get away with that. We lie about our professions. You know, what we actually do. Most times I tell my sugar mentees to tell them that you're a secretary at a no-name place so they can never try to really look you up.
Right. So are they looking for you to have jobs? They want you to be self-sufficient?
They like that.
Okay.
They like coming to your rescue when there's an emergency.
Oh, okay. So there's an emergency monthly. Is what I would sign up for. They, like, hey, every month I got an emergency.
Right. Well, that's what they like. But once you get them in the palm of your hands, that's when you start to get the monthly allowance or the weekly allowance.
Okay.
And you tell them, look, I told him, you know, I'm tired of having to text you at the last minute, you know, at 9:30, hoping you get my text by 10 because my card declined. I need you to have money in my account consistently. If you're my man, you need to provide for me financially, and there should be no, you know, lack on my end. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you're right, baby, you're right. And so that's how I got myself in this particular relationship on a weekly allowance.
Okay.
But the things that the guys lie about, they lie about their income all the time.
Mm-hmm. So what's the inflation?
Oh, I mean, there's no limits to what these guys
say. But what's the point of lying? Because, I mean, I guess you would get attracted to somebody based off of some, you know, whatever number. But then also, like, I mean, I don't know, by the second date, if this is a contractual relationship, it would be very easy to see where the lie is.
Exactly.
And if
the woman walked away, is their fault for lying about how much, you know, they could afford. So when guys lie and tell me that they're making, you know, $500,000 a year and that they're going to be able to give me X, Y, and Z, of course I'm going to accept a date with them. And then they try to finesse me, but I'm the ultimate finesser. So they try to finesse me and say, oh, well, you know, my company was doing really well, you know, 3 years ago, but such and such and such happened, and so now I'm rebuilding, right? But they got you in telling you that they made $500,000 a year.
They're rebuilding.
Now they're rebuilding.
Well, call me back, bitch, when you are rebuilt.
Right.
With a T on the end of it.
You just wasted your money, because I'm not calling you back, and I'm not accepting your next date. And so that's your fault. That's not my fault, because I'm only going to date a guy who can, you know, give me what I want, and who's going to be a bit more honest than that.
So, okay. So yeah. Do you feel like there's some lies with the current relationship that you have?
Do I think he's lying?
I mean, there's some smidgens.
Definitely he is.
Okay.
And that's why he's kind of afraid to really put his all into this with me. Because he knows he has lies, so he knows for a fact I have them as well.
Okay.
He doesn't know that I have 4 children.
What does he think?
That I have 1.
Okay.
He doesn't know that I've been married twice.
Okay.
He knows that I've been married to my, you know, my youngest daughter's father.
Uh-huh.
And my 3 older, they're by my first husband. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know that I haven't worked a 9-to-5 job since 2013.
So he thinks you're at work?
I just told him.
I'm busy.
Right.
Calls the voicemail.
I told him that I worked part-time as a secretary, basically. And I also told him about 2 weeks ago that I quit my job because there was no upward mobility and I just couldn't take it. And he said, it's okay, baby. You know, you're young, follow your passions. He said, I'll make sure there's something in your account all the time.
You know, that's so funny. Do you ever watch Sex and the City? Cause I'm like a
no,
stan.
Oh
my God. Who are you even? So I'm a huge Sex and the City fanatic. Like I know episode verbatim. And so there's an episode. Are you familiar with the character line?
At least? Okay. Yes, I am.
So there is an episode where Miranda, who is the attorney, was going on speed dates. And of course, this is like the late 90s. I mean, like 99 or something like that. And so she was going on speed dating and she was sitting across from guys and they start off, well, I'm a whatever. She was a partner at a law firm. And so she's like, well, I'm a partner. And they would just start looking around. And they would look around and she would just, she would segue in and she would just kind of like slowly drop off I'm about to sneeze. Excuse me. I'm not going to edit that out. Thank you. Our technical remastering is not that serious over here. I.e. me. So she would get to the point where she was just like, you know what? I am a stewardess. And then then the response was, oh, really? And so she got a date. Come to find out that the guy she was sitting across from was also lying. He said he was a doctor, but he worked at, like, the Athlete's Foot. He was a manager at the Athlete's Foot on whatever street. But it was just, goes to what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, men like a certain type of woman. Yeah. I mean, those type of men. I mean, those I can't speak men. For
There's
all
a lot
type
of different
men.
Men on
right.
this side.
But those type of men want like this very like classic, like walk around in a pencil skirt type of whatever. And she knew that after a couple of minutes. And she was like, okay, let me play up to that. And she did. So.
Yeah, they definitely, because a lot of them, they want the luxury of being able to call you on a whim. So when they're ready for you, they want you to be available. If you're, you know, if you're this high powered attorney or you're just in, you know, in a position that you have to work long hours, they don't feel like they can have that much fun with you, you know, because they already have really full schedules as well. And so, I just always tell the women to lie about their profession, you know, most of the times. And then if they're doing something, if they're in a career, You just want to protect yourself too, because you don't know what they're lying about.
Right.
So instead of telling them all these questions, when they ask you, you know, what do you do or tell me about yourself, I rarely tell anything about like my job or stuff like that. I start to talk about my character, my personality, my interest. I'll say, you know, well, I love going to baseball games and da da da. I don't talk about family. I don't talk about kids. I don't bring up anything. And so when you don't insert certain things in the conversation, they just almost automatically assume then you don't have any kids, because otherwise you would have said, I'm a mom. But I don't say that. I just say that I'm a really fun girl.
You know, this is such a funny conversation because a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, I was working in beauty.
Okay.
And I would never talk. I was transitioning careers at the time. I was transitioning jobs. And I would never really talk so much about what I did, like on social media and stuff. And Snapchat was really big.
Okay.
And so I would just show myself like walking around in the morning, going to get coffee and then just like doing whatever. Mm-hmm. And I did not say I'm at work. I didn't show at work. I didn't show whatever. And so the amount of people who would respond to me and they're like, what do you do all day? And I'm like this. And they were like, I didn't think you had a job. And I'm like, I do. I just didn't show you my job.
You just don't
and
show
I think that
them.
Social media has reconditioned people to believing that, because people feel like they need to show everything. So we get conditioned to believing that whatever people show is the full scope of who they are.
Yeah.
And I'm like, look, just don't show your job. And I still don't show my job. I'm not like, oh, I go sit in the office. There's nothing fucking glamorous about sitting in the office.
Right.
So I don't show going to sit in the office. I had somebody message me a couple weeks ago and he's like, what are you doing? Are you at work? And I'm like, bitch, I work every day. What are you talking about? And he's like, oh, you're always in this bandana on your head. I thought you were just hanging out and going to the gym. I'm like, yeah, but that's all I choose to show you.
Exactly.
I'm like, I do that every day.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I had to take this bandana off and I have a regular goddamn outfit on. But that's all. And it's so weird how like our brains have reconditioned to believe in that if we don't offer the information, that it must not even be happening.
They just assume that I don't have children. I don't offer anything about my family. And then sometimes they say, this is how they kind of get you. They'll say, well, you know, who do you live with?
Oh, yeah.
And I'll say, it's just me.
Yeah.
And that's it. So then they don't say, well, you know, do you have kids? Because I say, it's just me. And it could be because my kids are with my parents for the summer or something like that. But it doesn't matter to me. I have no problem lying to them. And because I know they have no problem lying to me, and they are.
Yeah.
At any given moment. So,
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, that's a lot. So, okay. So that's how that's the money portion of it. So, but your particular like personal forte is the no sex thing, because that's the big thing with a lot of women, is they're like, I've seen the memes, they're like, shit, if I could be a sugar baby without having to give sugar,
yeah,
so ta-da, here's the moment. So how do you do this, and how does it even like work? Mm-hmm. How does it work?
So basically, I always put things off. I never tell a man, I will date you, but I'm not going to have sex with you. I would never tell them that. I lead them to believe that you have a chance, just like any other guy that I date. You know, I'm not going to go into a date where I'm dating him romantically just because I want to. And I tell him, I'm never going to have sex with you, right? I'm not going to do that there, so I'm not going to do it in my sugar daddy dating mm-hmm. as well. And so they think that they have a chance. And when men have not slept with you yet, they'll pretty much do anything. Because for men, it's more than the sex that they want, it's the chase that they're after. And so I allow them to chase me for however long I can keep them behind me.
That's so, I like the finesse of that, like, until I can keep them behind me.
Yeah.
So how long have you been dating this guy?
He's a new one. I've only been dating him for a couple of months now.
Okay.
With him, I probably have no more than 4 months left with him.
Like, as a whole, he's gonna burn out,
or
until you have to sleep with him, or give a reason why you won't sleep with him.
I'm gonna have to give a reason why I won't sleep with him. But then more so too, he thinks that he's falling in love, and he's 67. He doesn't have time to play.
I also stand for Erica Jane. I'm assuming you don't watch The Housewives.
No.
Okay. Well, Erica Jane is my favorite housewife ever. She's okay. From Beverly Hills, and her husband is like a week away from death.
Right.
And she got a plane, and she got all types of shit. Yes. And she's like, oh, yes. There was an episode that was so funny, and this has nothing to do with our conversation here, okay. But it's one of my favorite episodes. And her husband is like 40 years older than her.
Wow.
And she was a single mom. She was a host, a waitress or something like that in Atlanta, and blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. And that's how she met him. And anyway, so she's a very rich bitch now, and she lives in Beverly Hills. And she had called him, and he was starting to say, well, how's your week, and blah, blah, blah. And she was just like, oh, no, I'll have to, I'm sure you're very busy, I'll let you go. And he was trying to hold her and have a conversation, and she was like, I don't even really care, I'm sure you're busy. Bye, Tom. That's his name, Tom.
Yes, that's how it is. Like, I don't have to give him much time, and he doesn't expect that much time for me, at least at this point. But, because I know he thinks that he's falling in love with me, and I can just tell by the things that he do. Like I said, he usually only texts me in the morning and at the night and at nighttime. And now I'm starting to get texts in the middle of the day saying, thinking about you.
Like, thinking what?
And I'm like, what the, you know, like, do you really have to start thinking about me now? Like, don't do that. Let's just keep it how we are, you know? But he tells me a lot of different things too. So I agreed to the prenup because, mm-hmm. What's the pretty? It doesn't fucking matter as long as you're in the will.
No, that's why. I mean, I've been cursing this whole time. Okay. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, as long as I'm in the will, that's all that matters at the end of the day.
Okay.
But the fact that he doesn't know that I have 3 other kids, and he also doesn't know that I have a business teaching other sugar babies.
So he doesn't know that you, like, pimp my ride. You're pimping this out.
He has no clue. But he does know that I'm running a business.
Okay.
He does know that. And he's dying to figure out what it is.
Okay. So you're not having sex with these guys.
I don't have sex
okay,
with them.
So let's segue into, well, do you have... So this is what you're doing, like, professionally now, mm-hmm. right? So is there a segment of you that... is dating other people that you're actually truly romantically involved with, that you are sleeping with? Like, how does that work?
I had not had sex for a very, very long time until this week.
Okay! But that's a regular person.
He's a regular guy.
Okay.
He's a regular guy. I can't even give the deets about him at all because it's honestly was our first time this week. But
you do run, but you have 2 parallel lives. So there are people that you will date, like, as a real person.
Yes, there are guys who will still date me knowing that I'm a full-time sugar baby.
Okay.
Yeah, they have no problem. They're very educated. They have money for their age. And they find me intriguing.
I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this question. Is your specifics for men that you would actually date differ from the sugar? Like, I'm assuming maybe you drop your age by 40 years whatever.
Right. So
like,
I'm not really attracted to older guys.
Okay.
So I want to enjoy the person that I'm having sex with. I want you to be fine.
So you had a roller coaster. Y'all out here scooping ice cream. What? Y'all just going on real hand holding dates. But the other guys are about to die. Okay. I'm checking for it.
It's great, you know? So I get, you know, for a long time I hadn't had sex because it's easy for me to keep my standard with the sugar daddies when sex isn't even on my mind. So mm-hmm. for a very long time, I didn't even get horny. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was a night and had to do what I had to do. Right. And I don't regret it. And I'm probably going to be dating him regularly now.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes.
Oh, yeah. You must got some serious cell phone skills to keep all this shit separate. Because I'm always scared I'm getting ready to text the wrong person. Or
I almost text my sugar daddy.
Screenshot the wrong thing.
We take photos anytime we go on a date.
Yeah, I've seen those. You guys got to go on their Facebook page and see. Because she puts a little dummy white. Whose little face is that?
I have no clue who he is.
There's some old extra man that she's put over the actual man's face. And it's just wild.
Yeah, so I almost sent him that picture one day because we take all of our photos on my phone.
So where does he think these photos are going? He's never tried to look you up online?
Guys aren't that
I guess
sneaky.
I have realized that.
Yeah, you know, women, we're the ones who are digging.
Yeah,
all,
I'm
you know.
A Google.
Yes, I'm a Google. I'm going to do everything like that. I had already did a full background check on him when I went to the restaurant on our first date.
Uh-huh.
Because I got his first and last name in the city that he lived in. Men aren't like that, though. They are a bit more trusting, although they know that you're lying. They just can't figure out what you're lying about.
Right.
But if it's not something outlandish, they're going to take your word for it.
Yeah, because I'm on MLS. I'm looking to make sure that you say you own his house. It's you and it's
right.
not
the
you
background
and your
checks
wife
will
on
tell
the
you
thing.
Properties that they own.
Yeah.
If they have any tax liens. Some sugar daddies I was dating, they had tax liens, you know, from not paying their taxes, you know, for 3 years straight and things like that. But, he hasn't looked me up yet. He told me that he would prefer that I trust him enough to just give him all of my information. And I told him that, baby, we're not there yet.
Okay, so hit me too, because I think this is interesting. I mean, for the married men who are doing this type of stuff, mm-hmm. like what is the rationale? Because I know a lot of them think that they're just not cheaters. So what is their storyline that they're providing?
The main one I get is, my wife and I, we've been together for a very long time and I will never leave her for you or anyone else. I love her. But she's gone through menopause and she, you know, doesn't get wet anymore. And so sex for her is extremely painful. So she knows that I date other women, but we just
oh,
I
so
just
so,
don't bring
so
it
the
home.
She knows part is thrown in there.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
It's a lie. I'm pretty sure it's a lie.
I'm pretty sure that's a lie too. I'm pretty sure she doesn't know. I mean, I'm sure that there are women who hint at it. I mean, I've known a guy who swore he had this 80-20% rule, but I know that he didn't ever like tell his wife the
exactly.
part of the 20% thing. And I'm like, okay, bro. I know that you're not being transparent
right.
with your wife.
And like, it's 2019. Lubrication is real.
And what age do people even go through menopause?
I don't know. Maybe 50s.
Oh, so. Shit.
That
soon?
I'm not there yet.
Yeah, me either. I am high risk pregnancy, so they got to worry about me having no babies. But girl. But the menopause thing is odd.
That's one of their main excuses. And then sometimes they just say, you know, it's my marriage isn't fun anymore, but it's cheaper to keep her. And so she does her thing and I do mine. That's mostly a lie too. Because a lot of women, I mean, women do cheat too, obviously. But a lot of women, they still be in love with these loser guys, you know? And I just be like, what the fuck? Why are you this way? Go out and do your thing because he's cheating you all the time. But I personally I've only dated one sugar daddy who was married.
Mm-hmm.
And I did meet him on a website. I met him organically when I was walking to school in New York City. And I didn't know that he was married. So, I mean, but I'm sure I've dated a lot of more men who were married, but they all told me that they were not.
Okay. So now let me give my full transparency segment, right? I said I was going to say something. So I tried this shit before.
Okay.
Here's what I tried. And I just, it wasn't even intentional, right?
Okay.
So I know about the website. I've been on the website. I didn't date anybody off the website. So I'm standing around in the Bloomingdale's mm-hmm. in Tyson's Corner, and this man walks by me and he looks like a corn husker from Nebraska. And so he walks by and he's all like, I don't know. He's like 6'6", and he's just, it's crazy looking. So, uh-huh. And then he walks by me and he walks back and he's asked me for directions to the CVS on Route 7. So okay. I give him the directions. He's carrying a suitcase. And so I'm like, whatever. And then he walks back again. He comes back and he's like, if I wasn't so sweaty, I would ask you out. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, shit, if I wasn't standing here preoccupied, I might have said yes. So then he's like, well, can you do dinner? And I'm like, no, I can't do dinner. And he's like, well, can you do breakfast? So I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. So we meet for breakfast the next morning at the Le Pain Quotidien in the mall.
Okay.
And he's sitting in this stupid ass corner being, and I'm like, bro, this is crazy. So I come in there, the place is like super empty. He's in a suit in the corner. I'm like, this looks so crazy. So then I asked to go sit outside. He does, it's the summertime.
Okay.
He doesn't eat breakfast, which always makes me uncomfortable. I'm like, why would you ask me to eat breakfast and then I'm the only one eating? So now I look like a goddamn orphan Annie.
Right, like, you're just paying for me. I've had guys breakfast. Like that too.
And I'm like, this is so nuts. But then he gave me like $400 for the day, mm-hmm. just right there. And I'm like, okay, I see what's going on now.
Exactly. So that
then,
part.
So then he didn't live there. He lived somewhere north. I don't even know, Louisiana. That's where he lived. And he gave me this email address. So we would communicate via email. And it was some fishy-ass email address. So I'm like, oh, my God. So the next time I come to see him, I'm like, oh, man. Like, this is some type of goddamn police thing. So I'm like, oh, my God. So it's just, it wasn't. Okay. But I was just so, you know, because you're new to that whole, like, world.
Yeah.
And you don't really have, like, the inside scoop. You really don't know, like, mm-hmm. what's going on or whatever. So we met a couple times. And he would, like, he had, like, a variation. This was not a no sugar sugaring. I was definitely fucking. So it was like he spent the goddamn money different for different things. But then he got to the point where at that point I was wearing a unit.
Okay.
And my hair has always been blonde. So it was like down to here. And I don't know. I think his request gotten a little too like fetishy.
Okay.
Like I've been watching like Pornhub, so can you do this? And I'm like, bitch,
oh, stop
I don't
it.
Really feel like you slid me enough money for me to be over here like exactly. throwing it back like the girls on the whatever tube it is, but I'm like, no. So I haven't talked to him since then. But we would just be in different parts of town, wherever he was staying. Yeah. And it was like my little one dabble. It's my story from my memoir that I will be writing my coffee table book, but y'all get a sneak peek into it. More details will come when I can charge you.
I love it.
So that's that. So I've played in that world, but it's, so the reason why I cut him off is because I just felt like the stuff he was asking for was inclining, but his dollar services weren't. Right. And so I was like, okay, this was fun and cute for like 10 minutes. And then like, now you're asking for like regular, like crazy shit and you're not accommodating. Mm-hmm. So in your business, mm-hmm. you're teaching people how to like really do this for real and how to determine their price point, because I did not know how to do that. And I was just a little timid because I was like, wait a minute, I feel like I'm giving a lot and I'm not getting a lot. And eventually I just ignored him. But I think if I maybe knew how to like finesse the art of the conversation, mm-hmm. maybe I might, I don't know. So, but that was years, like a couple years ago. So how is the business? What are you teaching people? How is that set up? And what, let's talk about the business.
So, I have a secret Facebook group. You cannot find it unless you're actually in the group. You're invited by me. And in the group, I upload different units. And each unit is basically a chapter. And I'm probably going to create a book in the end with all the chapters that I put out. And I teach women how to find a sugar daddy online, what their profile should look like, what type of pictures they're, you know, and I go one by one for the women in the group and I approve their photos, or I say, well, no, this is wrong, delete this, change this. And I give them scripts for their profiles, exactly what to say, how to engage them for initial conversation, how to respond for the initial conversation, how to go out into the city to a high-end restaurant or upscale lounge and freestyle, mm-hmm. which freestyling means you're out there on a hunt in real life.
Okay.
And so I teach them how to freestyle, how to look, you know, how to act, how to talk. I encourage them to take an etiquette class because you want to know how to conduct yourself around men with money, right? And I teach them how to say no. You know, a lot of these guys are always asking me, do you want to come back home with me tonight? You know, da da da. And I'll say, an Uber is fine for me.
The straight faces you have right now is hilarious. Like, no, I'm good. An Uber is okay.
I don't make anything a big deal with them. And so I have had guys who have gotten mad at me about certain things, mostly like the transportation or something mm-hmm. like that. They'll come back in a month or so and they'll say, you know what, I'm sorry about that. Can we try it again? Because I never give them the satisfaction of turning ratchet on their asses.
Mm-hmm.
And they like that about me. I'm very classy. You know, I'm very poised when I talk to them and graceful. And they like that. You
right.
know? I'm not... naturally, I have a lot of masculine energy.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I do as well.
Yeah, it's really hard for me. So when I go on these dates, I basically channel one of my best friends. She's like the most feminine woman I've ever met in my life. So in my mind, I'm her when I'm on those dates. I sit like her, I laugh like her, I blink like her, I smile like her. And I embody who she is on every date. And it helps me out a lot because otherwise I'd be so rough and slouched and stuff. You know? And people probably wouldn't know that on Facebook because my photos, I look like I have money. Mm-hmm. But really, you know, I'm a Southern girl from Dallas, Texas, and I'm country, you know, and loud. It can be obnoxious, right. but you can be trained to do this. Mm-hmm. So I teach them everything that they need to know from A to Z. And then, you know, how to bring up emergencies. A lot of times the women who actually have nice careers, they struggle a lot with asking for money or appearing as a damsel.
Yeah.
And so I give them scripts. So one of my units is just dedicated to scripts. Everything that a guy would probably ever ask you is in unit 6.
Okay.
And I tell you, don't just copy and paste, because there's a lot of girls that are going to be in a group and that are in the group now. Make it your own. And the women who do it, they've made money the very next day. I teach you how to make money online without ever meeting them. You know, just how to kind of finesse them. But then I teach you how to figure out who has sponsor money or who has trick money and how to play your cards, you know, for the long haul.
Okay. Hold that thought. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's a secret Facebook group. You're teaching. You're an educator. There's a manual. Mm-hmm. Can you drop any little free tidbits? Because this is a paid group.
It's a paid group.
It's a paid group. So is there any free tidbits that you can give to the gals who either A, are a little curious and want to go in that direction, or just to pique their interest and need to, join this group for real?
I can tell you 3 things.
Okay.
The first is, if you don't have a discipline to not have sex with someone, then you cannot, don't even join the group. I don't want you to waste your money. So you have to be pretty disciplined in order to say no, because even though you may not be physically attracted to them, some of them have really awesome personalities. My main sugar daddy right now, if he was, you know, younger and just other things were different, I would fuck him totally. He is right. An amazing guy. So I have to remain disciplined with mm-hmm. him. But then, so that's number one. But number two is always don't ask for favors. You tell them what you want and you never negotiate. And the only way that you can be able to do that successfully is if you vet them properly and you know who you're dealing with. So you never throw out a number from the very beginning, because he may not be able to give you, you know, $3,000, but he may honestly be able to give you $1,200 and you just, you know, screwed yourself over. So
no. Because if you say $3,000 and he knows he can't give you $3,000, he'll just take himself off the list completely. He won't come back and counter offer and say,
no,
okay.
No, he actually will, but I don't negotiate. So you only have an option to say, for me, is to say yes.
I'm down with this, because I think these principles, whether you try to be a sugar baby or not, these should be in some regular world ass dating. Like, look, because what happens is, look, I think all women have standards mm-hmm. and things that they create, these little lists that they create while they're single. Uh-huh. Then what asses, we get fucking finessed. I'm one of them. I mean, I've
been there.
Yeah, we get finessed.
I've been married
and all
twice
of a sudden,
four
these damn standards have just windowed their ass down to, fuck it, he don't beat me. Yes. So fuck it, we there.
Right.
So, but if we just like keep those standards, and some of them just don't. Wait,
men have written the rules for dating this entire time. And so I believe that I have rewritten the rules for myself. And I don't deviate from that for nobody.
Okay.
And so that's really important too. So like you said, not just for sugaring, but in regular relationships, whether it's with your family or a romantic interest as well. Mm-hmm. And I think the last thing that I would say is educate yourself. You know, research about the industry, and because at the end of the day, it is still considered sex work. Mm-hmm. I just so happen to not have sex with them, and I right. teach that to my mentees, but it's still sex work. These guys, I'm selling them the idea of having sex with me.
Yeah.
And I just keep pushing it off on and on and on and on. But you know, you need to be proud about it. Be happy that you are a sex worker, because I totally believe in that.
Yeah, that's my thing. Look, if you can skirt some of Trump's taxes right now,
right?
Then fucking skirt them,
right?
And you know, like men, I think I know have been using their masculinity to get ahead so
yes,
many times,
they have.
And then that whole patriarchy thing has convinced women that you shouldn't use femininity, but how somehow they have used their masculinity
right.
to do every fucking thing, mm-hmm. you know, and so they will guilt you into not using your stuff. So I'm like, whatever, yeah, you know, sex sells.
Exactly.
And, you know,
exactly.
Use it while you got it.
Yeah. And oh, my last thing, I'll say this too. If you're married, I suggest that you talk to your husband about it. Unless you're already trying to get out of, like, maybe a toxic relationship, mm-hmm. and you're just trying to get your own money and be able to leave. Because, you know, nowadays, women, we're not just leaving because the guy made us mad. We're trying to build ourselves up first and leave when it's actually convenient for us. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, it's different. But if you're happy in your marriage and you're trying to get more money, just tell your husband, you know, tell your boyfriend or whatever, or mostly your husband, because your boyfriend haven't married you yet.
Yeah.
But tell your husband. And
because I wonder how that conversation would go over. Hey, boo, you don't have any fucking dollars.
Right.
I love you. But we poor. I'm about to go out here and throw it back.
I dated, I was a sugar baby all while I was dating my ex-husband.
Okay.
And sometimes when I was married.
And he knew.
He would write the guys for me. He would write them for me.
Is that some type of, like, fetish thing that guys have that, like, they're encouraging this?
Because some of them are like, the idea that these men wanted me and he knew they could never have me in the way they wanted me. Like, that turned him on. And he also liked the idea that I was out there getting money. He seen money come into my account, and, you know, he like, well, what this nigga say tonight?
Yeah.
And I gave him the whole scoop the entire time. And he was always right there just in case anything happened. He was no more than a call away. You know, he'd be right there. And so, yeah, it was fun. But, you know, I just say, always tell your husband if you're married. Tell your husband if you're actually happy with him, because if you hide it, it's going to make it seem like you really are having sex with these guys, and that's not the case, mm-hmm. if you're actually listening to the things that I say.
Right. So let me just ask this. So there's obviously somebody for everybody. I don't think you have to, like, we mm-hmm. talked about, obviously you're not a white woman.
Yeah.
So even in the scale of, like, looks, right? Because there's whatever the hell I'm trying to say, mm-hmm. where people feel like they don't look a certain way. Like they're a little chunky. Or they're short, or
that's
their
number one reason for not wanting to join my group.
Yeah. Or they're not conventionally attractive. Like, is there a space in this for all types of women?
There definitely is. If you know how to talk, you know, if you know how to finesse them, and I kind of teach you that through the scripts, you can land someone. Mm-hmm. I won't say you can land 100 guys, you know, but you can land a few.
You might just get a real good one.
Right. You may get a real good one, and you hold on to that. But it honestly is possible. There are guys who they only want to date young women. There are guys who say, I will not, do not even write me if you're under 35. Mm-hmm. You know, there are guys who say, I love BBW, or I have a fetish for short women, or just whatever. Like, they don't, some guys don't care how you look at all as long as you have pretty toes. Mm-hmm. And that's your ticket in. So you just have to have confidence. My unit one is called confidence. And so I teach them that you before anything else, you have to have that. I don't care what size you are. You can say you need to lose weight, whatever. But unless you have the confidence that you need to actually go on this date and secure the bag, it's never going to work for you.
You know what I think is so funny is how much of a stigma like this, like sex work gets, mm-hmm. but I think it's the most transparent world ever,
yeah,
because
this
is like the one place where, like, in any type of, whether it be from porn all the way down to whatever, is how honest people are of what their intentions are and what they truly like. And regular, like, as you called it earlier, vanilla relationships, like, mm-hmm. people are like, I really am attracted to, like, I don't have any hips. I've said this before. I have no hips and no ass, right?
Okay.
I'm sure there's men that have tolerated my ass, even though the fact that I don't have that.
Right.
But they've never said that to me. They're just like, okay, whatever. But if they were paying for it, they'd be like, girl, you have no fucking hips, so leave me the fuck alone. So I love the transparency in that world, and I wish that some of that, like all of that, really could come over to these vanilla relationships, and then maybe, you know, we would have a little bit of a healthier dynamic between men and women over on that side, because nobody, well, I won't say nobody, but the portion of people who are telling the truth over there in terms of what they want, especially in the intimacy space and the sexual space, is like so slim. Like, people do not tell the truth.
You're right. You're absolutely right. So, I mean, I hope that, like, I feel like this is a movement, you know. I hope that a lot of women decide to start sugaring, or even if they don't, just become open to the idea and become more accepting of it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's how we can, you know, as women collectively, we can really change or rewrite the rules to dating in vanilla relationships.
Right.
Like, that's my main goal.
Right.
I just don't want these guys out here running shit no more. Like, your time is over.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's always an exchange. I mean, money rules everything. There's always an exchange for it. It's like, what are you going to throw up? I mean, men throw different things around for their money. So.
Right.
Okay, so people want to join the group. How do they do that? Because it's private, it's a secret, so they have to find you first. Mm-hmm.
You go to my website. Again, I'm going to say it is www.sugaringwithoutsugar.com, and it gives you, actually read what's on the site. It gives you the step-by-step directions of how to actually get into the group.
Okay.
It's going to tell you to, after you pay, you're going to get a 4-digit order number, and you're going to send that order number to a link that's right there on the site. And at that point, I'll add you into the group.
Okay. So what is on your Facebook page? Like, are you, is your Facebook page open?
My Facebook page is open. Everyone can see.
Okay, so remind them again.
Shaw Drake.
Okay.
Everyone can see. My photo right now, I'm in like a dominatrix black outfit. Because I like to do dominatrix, right, you know, every now and then too. I'm not the best at that. But, you know, there are some girls in my group who segue into the dom world, mm-hmm, because you can sometimes turn your submissive men into sugar daddies.
Okay.
And I talk about that as well in the group. Okay. So there's a lot of different ways that you can do, that you can be a sex worker without having sex. Dom is one of them.
Right.
Phone sex is one of them. Webcamming.
Yeah. I've seen that webcamming. Those girls are making a killing.
They make a lot of money.
Yeah.
They do.
And those people are like just in different countries. I mean, yeah, all over the place. And they're clearly not having sex with them. They're on the goddamn line.
I mean, for me, I think the main reason that I enjoy sugaring is because you get more than the money. You get the, mm-hmm, mentorship, you know, you get the connections, the network. So, and if you have like a sub or if you have someone online, they're not going to give you anything but their money. Like, right, that's it. And so, but I want to be able to walk into certain doors that I wouldn't otherwise be able to.
Okay.
At a faster pace.
Right. Right. You know? Okay. So they go online, find you. Even I guess if they go to your Facebook page, there's probably a link on there or something.
Yeah. Like there's
in
a
your
link.
Bio.
Yep. And in my bio and in my highlights.
Okay. So some way, if you're interested, guys, you can find this mystery group. Get in. It's a paid service.
It's $5. Right now it's 50% off, so it's actually $10. But I have a sale going.
A month. Okay.
It's a subscription. So just like when you sign up for Netflix, it comes out of your account once a month. That's how it is. And it's
how long are you locked into that? Is it just monthly?
Monthly. You can always cancel at any point. If you cancel, okay, there are no refunds. Let me say that.
Okay.
I'm not processing any refunds. But you need to just cancel it.
Okay.
You know, I think it's one day before,
yeah,
it's going to renew.
But the education is there. So even if you're just slightly interested, even if you want to be nosy, mm-hmm, don't go in there and be trolling, but yeah, you can go in there and see if there's something that piques your interest in this conversation. $10 is a small price. I mean, you're paying Amazon.
Well, right now it's $5.
Oh,
so
$5.
If they get in now, it's 50% off. So if they get in now, it's $5 a month, and it doesn't go up. You know, you're locked in at $5 a month.
So you get grandfathered in.
You get grandfathered in.
You won't even
in.
Notice the $5.
Not at all.
You can go in there and get some tidbits.
And the women who are in the group, when I say they give me raving reviews, people troll me all the time. And the women in my group, they're there for me. They're, mm-hmm, like, no, I'm in her group, and she is the real deal. So I haven't had anyone say, you're not doing this anymore. You're lying.
Right.
If you're in my group, you know that you're getting the knowledge, and it's working for you. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just join. It's only $5. If you feel like it's not, you know, worth it in the end, then you just cancel your subscription, and you know, that's
okay.
It.
Okay. Yay. Well, I'm so happy to have this conversation.
Yes.
This was fun. Yes. I am a opponent of sex work. I mean, I think that any way that women can reclaim some stuff,
yes,
even if it's through that, and while you're doing other things or whatever, I mean, hell, I'm out here doing a million different things. If I could just, like, mm-hmm, goddamn give some head and win, then, you know, I mean, why not? I mean, I'm tired.
Right. Because let me tell you, women out here fucking for free.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing we not doing.
We ain't doing
that.
We
not doing it. And then it's so funny, just to wrap this up, it gets so funny how, like, you know, the married women are always like, you know, not always. Let me stop making these huge generalizations, but I've had these conversations with people, especially like a lot of women in like the religious space and all that, mm-hmm, stuff about whatever. And I'm like, yeah, you're at, you know, stay at home moms. I'm like, yeah, you're definitely hoeing for free in your house.
Exactly.
Too. All you did was you made the same contract. Yep. That's called the wedding. That's, mm-hmm, called a marriage, mm-hmm, that's legally filed at your goddamn courthouse,
right,
that you would cook and clean and have sex
and
while he
and
goes to
yourself.
Work and, yep, pays for this damn stuff that you got going on. So it's really the same contract.
It's
you just try
thing.
To throw Jesus into it, which is a whole nother conversation. But go ahead and get your coin with whatever
coin,
the hell
sis.
You can get it
coin.
With. Because God knows if I could not get up tomorrow morning and I had some deposits into my Cash App, damn it, I would be happy and just lay back around. But until that day.
Until that day.
We're going to keep pushing this podcast and keep hoping that, you know, my little charming personality would get my ass somewhere.
It totally will.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Shaw Drake, for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Go find her on Facebook. Go to the website. Go, don't ask me no questions. Ask her. I ain't got the goddamn answers.
I respond to all the questions.
Yes, because I wasn't even her friend on Facebook and she wrote me back and I'm like, okay, this girl's serious. So here we go. And boom, there we have it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
I hope you guys enjoyed that episode with Shaw Drake. I thought it was wildly entertaining, and hopefully you guys will not so secretly go and take her up on all of her knowledge and get your coin. She even said, hell, if you married, I mean, I thought that was that part was a little bold, but bitch, if you need a coin, you probably should find a way. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed that last episode. I have no idea what we're talking about next week, but I promise you it'll be good. Until next Tuesday, ciao.